And on the line, I've got Ngaranoa Renata. Good morning.
Atamari te whanau whanui o Whangaroa. Yes.
Oh, there we go. As you promised. It's going to be an interesting...
She's training up to be on the radio too.
Oh, that's good.
3 years old.
It's going to be an interesting show this morning. We only just got Ngaranoa on the line. Yeah. And what are we going to be talking about today, if we can indeed talk?
Yes, I'd like to two kaupapa. The first one is about food sovereignty and that relationship to our well-being, of course, you know, our rongoa Māori, and just that relationship of how food sovereignty is something we need to be very seriously about, and we are. In Whangaroa, there are many initiatives to enable people to learn how that works. And I guess it's like, what is it actually as well? Have others spoken about that too?
I know the food bank, we talk with the Environment Centre about a lot of the things they're doing, which is definitely revolving around food sovereignty. And in fact, they've given us a little poster in the studio now, which is their Growers Gig Guide for October, with all the different things that are happening, including some seed sorting and stuff. Yeah, there is a lot, yeah.
Yes, my particular focus is on the retention of Indigenous crops.
Yep.
So that while we bring in all these other different seeds that have been introduced, there is a growing seed bank or bulb bank and a network that's to do with Indigenous crops. So Indigenous, what does that mean? Right. Those are crops that have become less familiar to our taste buds, but were brought over during the time of the Great Migration, and are still held by people in various ways, so that they are available to us today. So that's a long history of actually an heirloom original crop being maintained within communities.
What's some examples of those?
So there are many varieties of Riwai Māori which come from specific districts or iwi. So riwai, which is a potato, particular sort of potato, there are many varieties. I guess in a supermarket they come under a gourmet, as a gourmet potato. I don't know why they should. They're actually just a potato with a very different look and a taste.
So what is what's the look?
Oh, so some of them, there's different shapes, and so you can get purple ones, which are purple inside.
That's what I was wondering, because we have some of those often at our place, yeah.
Yeah, and they actually can whakapapa back to a specific iwi who grew them. They grew that particular type of riwai Māori. There's also, along those lines, there's the kānga, which is the corn. There were corn crops that were really important crop for Māori here in Aotearoa. Mm. And those are not so common because they've been taken over by the so-called other crops of sweet corn. But they are still available through those who hold heirloom seeds and, are worth people looking at growing again in abundance.
I presume that because they've been around for so long, they're actually quite well suited to our soils and our climate.
Yes, absolutely. And they don't also have the type of problems that we have in gardens with all the brassicas that we tend to grow. I personally don't grow brassica. I let someone else do that because of they bring the snail population. These insects that are in our mara, as in gardens, also are attracted to particular crops, and the brassicas are your cauliflowers, your cabbages, the winter crops, generally grown in the winter through those months. And they just have so many problems with attracting, well, being eaten, really.
Yeah.
And so indigenous crops don't actually have that problem. They don't like them. they don't like them at all.
That's good.
The taste of them, so...
And you say that like heirloom seeds, and people have kept them. Are they easy to find? Do you know where to get them in Whangaroa?
Yes, they can be easy to find. It's more about that having this conversation now. Say, for instance, and somebody will remember. Oh, I've got that corn. Yes, I've got that corn. It's from my great grandfather, and you know, and then they'll have another conversation with one of their family members who says, oh, I'd love to grow it. So there's two things that it's rekindling that desire to grow indigenous crops as well, because of the availability of other seeds is, you know, you can go to the supermarket and buy your seed stock, or you can go to WEC where they've been specially prepared as a seed-saving project. Or somebody will pass on information personally about, you know, that they can get a particular type of riwai. Puata is another one.
Yeah. And speaking of WEC, I don't know, they were actually on Tuesday last week, they were doing their seed sorting there, so they had a group of people in just to get everything organised for the growing season.
Yes. I've noticed that most crops, while they're familiar to me, that are grown in community gardens, they're non-Indigenous.
Right.
And I've got a very strong desire for our Indigenous crops. So taro is one of those, which was grown all over the country, but it's not the Pacific Island taro.
Oh, okay. How is it different?
It's not that variety at all. And it was maintained here on the ancient beds, usually up on high points, near waterways that flowed down from our mountains or our maunga, and so I have those. I'm looking for people who would be interested in generating that particular crop in their gardens, because the leaves can be used. They're very really wonderful. They can be cooked the same way as spinach. And then the bulb underneath, of course, is very edible and very delicious.
Okay.
Yes. I think it's we've lost the taste for a lot of these crops. We prefer, you know, we have these preferred, like cos lettuce is quite normal on our dinner plates on a daily basis, or spring onions. But that taste also can be achieved through poata or ruruho. Yes. she's having a tutu, my mokopuna here.
Yeah, we've done well so far, haven't we?
Yeah, we're doing really well.
So, are you growing a lot of these plants?
I'm desiring to extend our mata here and to find what they call a shared situation. Tania, who is with WEC, is working on that. Is really heading that project. She's spearheading it, which is just amazing. So those having relationships with other landowners where you're not growing, you're not wanting it for building on, but you're wanting it for seasonal crops.
Yeah.
And having an MOU as well in place to guide that process, so that people with extensive pieces of land and desiring to have a mara kai that is shared by other community members?
Yep.
Do you know about that?
I haven't talked to Tanya for a couple of weeks, so...
Oh, yeah, it's pretty much up and rolling right now, and that's where I'm heading. I'm needing a property or a whenua where somebody would like me to grow kamokamo, puata, puha, and taro, so that I can extend the cropping that we have, because our our whenua here around the house is completely full.
Right. Can't even walk between the plants.
And, you know, food sovereignty is about learning the art of how to, when the time arrives where we have to, we can't have these foods available or won't be available in supermarkets, that we have this wonderful plan where the community is in charge of their own crops, and that's food sovereignty.
And also the planting around your place, is a lot of it have medicinal qualities as well. Have you planted a lot of plants with the medicinal qualities?
Yes. So, and they're organic as well. So there's many layers of learning different rhythms. Now, being organic to me means following very much the maramataka, the way that the... So we're heading right into our main, what we call preparing for the summer crops.
Yep.
It's sort of like a tradition, really, in the far north, Labour Weekend. Generally, you have everything in by Labour Weekend for the summer fruiting or summer abundance. After that, you're considered to be late and probably can create some problems for the growing cycle.
So are you going to be ready?
Yeah, I'm bursting at the seams. Absolutely. already done an early, what they call an early planting for spring.
Yep.
But a lot of people in Whangaroa have that rhythm too.
Yeah, of course.
Especially the older community, the elders of the community. They're well tuned in.
Yep.
It's something you can miss if you're... well, it's something you can miss, those cycles, because you're focused on other things and you go, oh, I forgot.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, people give up gardening too at that point, I think.
Yes. The distractions are many. But, you know, food sovereignty will last. It's got a cyclic... it's a cycle. And once you get into the rhythm, then you share that rhythm with other people in your hapuri and community.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it so much more a living art form, really.
I just noticed, I was just looking at this grower's guide for the Environment Centre, and they're having a Grow Kumara Together, is what the title of the event, at the community garden on Saturday the 28th. So,
oh, how beautiful.
I'm guessing that's about...
Possibly, I'd imagine.
I haven't got any more details other than that. It's just a printed page. I'd have to look that up on their Facebook.
Yeah. Well, kumara, of course, is a crop that we need to really seriously consider. It has so many benefits nutritionally. We've sort of logged into potato. Is it an Irish potato, do you think? From Ireland originally?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, it is from Europe.
Totally.
I would say probably it's possible its original home is from Ireland. And, yeah, I think the kumara has a lot to offer. Of course, it comes from, you know, they come across from the other coast and service Raglan. There's a kumara grower who brings them across, and people are, you know, purchasing those kumara from Rawai.
Yep.
But, you know, we can grow them here because of our climate is also in such a state of change and fluctuation. We have to consider those crops which probably weren't here in abundance before, but that's because of the climate change situation as well.
The tricky thing with the way the climate's going is that it's kind of like one year you want to grow them on the east coast and the next year you want to grow them on the west coast, because from year to year there's so much contrast. Like, I think this year's going to be a lot drier this summer than last year's was, which was terribly wet.
Yes, the main concern I think should be, or where we should be placing our focus, is on the way we store water and how we service our mara kai with our water supply.
Do you need to go and attend to something? Should we have a little break and come back?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. I'll play some music. Just stay on the line.
I'll come back and talk about Ngāpuhi who speaks and the Treaty of Waitangi workshop that's coming up.
Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron, and I've still got, I don't know, on the line. Good morning, or welcome back, I should say.
Yes, aye, kia ora. We'll just see how we go in the next few minutes, really, because the Tui is right here to the stairwell. The Treaty of Waitangi workshop that is on this weekend in Whangaroa has been organised by Raglan Naturally.
Yeah, I'm actually going to that.
Sorry?
I'm actually going to that.
Yes, and I think it's a really a golden opportunity to sit in a space with a facilitator that's very seasoned and will do an amazing facilitation to guide us through. Did we pick our time wrong?
I can because I can hear your the upset in the background.
I might have to go, actually, but yes, I'm going. Although I have got extensive background in the treaty, I think it's really something I want to be part of in our community.
Yeah, yeah. Shall I look it up? I know it'll be on the Raglan Naturally information somewhere. Shall I look it up and tell people the details?
Yes, please. It's I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to come together and you know, carry on those dialogues. Because Aotearoa is still able, we're still really able to and willing to have those conversations. And as you know, in terms of, you know, globally, those conversations between communities are not there anymore with the terrible, you know, things that are going on. So I'm just sort of backing it up, really, back to the home front, to the hapuri and community, and saying, that's amazing. Let's sit in that space and have those discussions about our future.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, well, look, it's been nice to chat to you, and I will, I'll dig that out, and I'll let people know the details a bit
more.
Okay,
that'd be wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right, and thanks for your efforts this morning to get the conversation going.
Hi.
Kia ora. See ya.
Kia hau maru.
Now, yes, I can tell you about what's happening on Saturday, which incidentally is election day. If you're not voting, you could join the Understanding the Treaty of Waitangi October workshop that Raglan Naturally has put on. I think this is the fourth one, and one last one this year. Ingrid, I don't know how to say her name, Huygens will be the facilitator, and we highly recommend, there'll be food involved, I can tell you. It costs $20 just to cover venue hire and refreshments. And it's open to residents. And those with the close association to the Whangaroa Raglan area, it's going to be at Stewart Street this time. They have been in the supper room previously. And it's going to cover, Ingrid is the lead facilitator, will be supported by Raglan Naturally. And they're going to cover the Māori-European relationships leading to the signing of the treaty. It's quite an interesting time. I don't know much about it, but to see where things were at back then. Māori aspirations for the relationship with new settlers as shown in the Declaration of Independence. What Te Tiriti or Waitangi, the Treaty of Waitangi says, what it actually says. We talk about it a lot in this country, but how many of us know what it says? I can't claim that I do. I wouldn't like to even try on the radio to summarise it. A comparison with the English version, so of course there's two versions, yes. A history of colonisation in this country and its impacts. The relevance of the treaty to all peoples in Aotearoa today. And that's a question that some people have. It's true. And for job seekers, how to respond to questions about the Treaty of Waitangi in job interviews. Interesting question. It's so long since I applied for a job that never came up at all in any of my job interviews. But I guess maybe it does these days. All right, so how do you book? That's the trick. You can go to the raglannaturally.co.nz website and then click on Let's Talk. That is one way to do it. What have they got on the poster? You can also learn more at treatypeople.org, the website. Info at raglannaturally.co.nz, the email, there we go.